Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The show yesterday on Tuesday, of course, we always cover a lot of ground when we have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us here on the show. And then, you know, while I'm busy yapping with you, sometime he's checking in on X and then giving us real-time breaking news information. But, yeah, the highlight yesterday was when he said, hey, did you see this video of Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, just annihilating, just demolishing MSDNC, MSNBC. He was on that Morning Joe program. And if you were listening yesterday, you heard the audio. But anyway, what a great back and forth. She just absolutely, the Morning Mika just absolutely got destroyed by Tom Homan. We'll share some numbers. The numbers she claimed to demand yesterday, we'll deliver them for you right now. Of course, Tom Homan delivered them yesterday as well. Let's see. Hey, great guest here kicking off the show for you here this morning. Caden, go ahead and patch him through to us here so we can sneak him on the program here before we go to our first break here. Mark Vargas joining us here on Montana Talks. And Mark, I got to say, I love your profile on X. And, you know, you've got a little bit of your resume on there, but it doesn't say Defense Department on there. It says the Department of War. So great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Aaron, thank you so much. And listen, I love Billings. I was just out in Billings in June with the Crow Tribe for the 200th anniversary of the 1825 treaty with the United States. I stayed at the Doubletree there. What a beautiful place, and I'm just really happy to be talking to you this morning.
Wow, that's incredible. So how'd you get to be a part of that?
I serve as an advisor to the Coalition of Large Tribes, and Colt was there to celebrate and to honor this important milestone. I also mentioned just about a month ago, I was in a meeting. I brought a bunch of tribal leaders into a meeting with FBI Director Kash Patel, and I actually brought up my visit to the Crow Tribe. And that maybe a lot of your listeners, maybe they know this or they don't know this, but I was shocked, and so was the director, when I said, you know, sir, I was just in Billings, Montana with the Crow Tribe. They're on 2.3 million acres. And do you want to guess how many cops there are on duty? Two. And I said, you know, sir, we've got human trafficking. We've got, you know, cartels doing drug drops and low-flying aircraft. We've got a large number of unresolved violent crimes. We need your help. The president has already allocated a historic amount of money to that, and the director was committed to making sure that we address human trafficking and all sorts of things, not just on the Crow Tribe there in Montana, but in tribes all over the country.
Yeah, so, in Indian country, all across the land. Yeah, no, that's incredible. Yeah, because that's what we saw with Joe Biden and John Tester's open borders, was the Mexican drug cartels and even Trende Aragua thugs showing up, targeting Native American communities right here in Montana in particular. All right, hold that thought. Quick break. Mark Vargas, he's a columnist with Newsmax and the editor-in-chief of the Illinois Review. As you can see, you're going to be a great guest. We'll talk more right after this.
It's September 10th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National TV Dinner Day. In 1953, the first frozen TV dinners were introduced to supermarkets, changing the landscape for prepackaged meals forever. By 1962, the term TV dinner was no longer in use on packaging, but it was too late, as the term continues to be used for any frozen meal heated at home. The first TV dinner by Swanson was a Thanksgiving meal of turkey, cornbread dressing, peas, and sweet potatoes. Dessert wouldn't be introduced till 1960. Also on this date in 1984.
This is Jeopardy!
The first episode of the wildly popular syndicated game show Jeopardy! Aired with host Alex Trebek, who hosted the show for 30 years till he passed away in November of 2020. If it's your birthday today, you share it with golf legend Arnold Palmer, born in 1929, and ballerina Misty Copeland, born in 1982. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Hey, guys.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I'll tell you what a nice surprise here this morning. I saw that we had an opportunity to get this guest on the show for us, and thanks to our producer, Caden, for lining this all up for us. I saw that, you know, Mark Vargas, he's a columnist with Newsmax. He's the editor-in-chief of the Illinois Review. And also has, you know, a military background as well. And when I saw this guest opportunity, I was like, this is great, because we've been talking a lot about just this horrific, you know, crime, this horrific attack, the slaughter of this Ukrainian young woman refugee in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've been talking about the crime in our nation's capital, or what used to be the crime in our nation's capital, and, of course, the crime in Chicago as well. So what a great opportunity to chat with the editor-in-chief of the Illinois Review. But Mark Vargas, before we talk about all that, you know, tomorrow is 9/11. And I'll actually be doing a special show from the Montana Capitol, and then have the honor of speaking at the Montana State Capitol 9/11 ceremony. But, yeah, you and I, kind of sounds like we were talking during the break. You know, 9/11 is what inspired both of us to get, you know, serve in the military, or serve in a national security capacity in your standpoint.
Yeah, Aaron, I was a student at Judson University, a private Christian college in Elgin, just 40 miles west of Chicago. On that morning, my mother called my dorm room and said, turn on the television. I did. And my initial reaction was, I want to do something about this. And I literally felt the hand of God, and it was my lightning bolt moment. And at that moment, my life had purpose, direction, and meaning. I went on to join the staff and work for Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert, who was my local congressman there. And little did I know, several years later, I'd be heading to the Pentagon and joining the Office of the Secretary of Defense and traveling to Baghdad 14 times TDY. But you know, the real special part is I remember watching my heroes, Bernard Carrick, the police commissioner, and Rudy Giuliani, the New York City mayor. Again, it's interesting how God works, because fast forward and they become very, very dear friends of mine and business partners. And we were devastated over the early summer that of Bernie's passing. And I was there at his wake and his funeral, had dinner with the mayor after his wake. And so a lot of heroes, a lot of great people came out of 9/11 wanting to serve their country. And you're certainly one of them as well.
Well, you know, it's crazy when you – well, thanks for the kind words. We're speaking of heroes, you know, we're going to be remembering the best of us tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have a 9/11 memorial ceremony on the University of Montana campus that I'll be attending as well. And we're going to be remembering some of our fallen service members, and including, you know, former classmate Lieutenant Josh Hyland, who gave his life for this country 20 years ago this August. So just a couple, you know, just last month was the 20th anniversary of his sacrifice for our country. And so that's why we never forget. But it seems like so many people have forgotten. What, you know, it was really interesting. You were talking about your visit to the Crow Nation and to the Crow Tribe, and you were there for, you know, to mark history and this historic treaty signing. But while you were there, you heard on the ground everything we've been talking about here, which is, you know, crime and crime in Indian country in particular. And, you know, as I saw the National Guard and federal law enforcement, you know, in our nation's capital, and look, it's our nation's capital. They have to start there. But I remember thinking at the same time, man, I would love to see a similar surge out here in Indian country in Montana as well, because we've still got cartel operatives out there. But I know that the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, they have surged some resources in already. But man, there's just so much cleanup to do after the Biden years.
There is. And open borders, it affects not just, border towns and communities. It affects blue cities like Chicago and New York. It also affects Indian tribes. And I can assure you that both the president and Director Patel are 100% committed to allocating resources. A lot of people don't realize this, but President Trump is the first president in history to allocate an X amount of dollars, the most amount of money, towards Indian tribes to combat human trafficking, to combat violent crimes, to solve unresolved murders, and to go after the cartels. But after that meeting, a couple months ago, Director Patel is recommitted to making sure that Indian country gets the support and the resources that they need so that they don't feel abandoned. And it's just shocking that 90% of the policing budget for tribal nations is underfunded. 90%. We wouldn't want to walk around with that sort of a percentile. We wouldn't feel safe. And certainly, they're committed, and that's why you're going to see an influx of resources, and hopefully tribal nations start to look like Washington, D.C.
Well, and not only that, but an influx of their own resources and dollars flowing in by unleashing native energy programs. You probably got a chance to meet C.J. Stewart, who's the head of the energy program, the energy director for the Crow tribe. And, the Democrats' war on coal and the Democrats' war on American energy has caused a lot of harm in particular there. We unleash American energy. We unleash native energy. That's going to unleash a lot of resources for these tribal nations as well.
No doubt about it. And actually, I've been talking to members of the Crow tribe just within the last 48 hours, planning my next trip. So, Aaron, when I'm back in town, I'd love to get together with you and join you in studio as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. All right. Well, hey, Mark, can you join us for a few more minutes? We haven't even talked about Chirac. We haven't even talked about the Illinois Review yet. You want to stick around for a few more minutes?
Happy to.
All right. Great. Stand by. Because we got to talk about Chirac. We got to talk about what President Trump is doing to tackle crime in all of these, blue cities just being run into the ground by Democrats. So we'll talk about that and much more here with Mark Vargas, the editor-in-chief of Illinois Review, right after this. Hey, send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you have a quick question or comment as well.
Fox Sports Update.
On Root Sports Northwest, almost 6 years since Randy Arozarena got traded from the Cardinals to the Rays for pitcher Matthew Liberatore. Arozarena, now with the Seattle Mariners, hit a blast off the upper deck at T-Mobile Park off Liberatore, still with St. Louis. The Mariners beat the Cardinals 5-3 and moved within one game of the Astros for first place in the American League West. Houston was leading Toronto 3-1 in the ninth inning. The Blue Jays tied the score, forced extra innings in the 10th. Tyler Heineman drove in the winning run. Blue Jays 4, Astros 3. Toronto leads the American League East by 3 games over the Yankees and the Red Sox. New York's bullpen gave up 9 runs in the 7th inning last night against the AL Central leading Tigers and lost 12-2. The Red Sox won their 3rd game in a row, 6-0 over the Athletics. Boston called up pitcher Connelly Early to make his major league debut. Connelly Early tied a Red Sox record with 11 strikeouts in his first start. Michael Hellman hit a 2-run home run for the Rangers and saved a 2-run home run with his glove. Texas beat Milwaukee 5-4. The Rangers remained 1.5 games behind the Mariners for the final American League wildcard spot. The Guardians won their 5th game in a row, 2-0 over the Royals. Cleveland 2.5 behind Seattle for the last playoff spot in the American League. National League wildcard race, Giants within 2 games of the Mets for the final spot. San Francisco beat Arizona 5-3. The Reds 3 games back after a 4-2 win over the Padres. San Diego dropped 2 games back of Los Angeles in the NL West. Dodgers beat the Rockies 7-2. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Mark Vargas. I thought this was just going to be a quick conversation, and it would have been a good quick conversation if we had to do it, but thankfully he's able to stick around with us for a little bit longer. Mark Vargas, tell us about the Illinois Review and what you do with your publication, and then jump right into it. Give us the ground truth, what's going on in Chirac and the pushback from the Democrats protecting the criminals and pushing back against President Trump.
Well, Illinois Review was founded in 2005, and so we're the largest conservative news publication, pro-grassroots, pro-Trump news publication in Illinois. So we've been exposing not only the rhinos, but we've been exposing the Democrats, the crime numbers in Chicago, and with the influx of migrants, Chicago really just became the center of the universe. And so our stories have been picking up steam. President Trump has retrued some of our work. But Chicago is a war zone. If you remember over Labor Day weekend, the statistics, I mean, they're real. 58 shot, 8 killed. There were more shot in a single weekend in Chicago than in Philadelphia, Baltimore, New York City, and Washington, D.C. combined. Yet Governor Pritzker said that this was a manufactured crisis. 60,000 violent criminals who were roaming the streets because they missed their court hearing because of no cash bail. That's not a manufactured crisis. 1,600 police officers short, and as a result, 225,000 high-priority 911 calls went unanswered. Calls like shots fired, assault in progress, man with a gun, they went unanswered. That's not a manufactured crisis. And finally, over 90% of violent offenders, they're roaming free and on the streets because they've never been identified and or charged. That's not a manufactured crisis. And so Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, who sits at just a 6% approval rating, the lowest of any mayor in Chicago history, likes to blame Richard Nixon for Chicago's crime crisis. He said that youth who were rioting and looting simply just don't have enough school activities. And finally, just last week, he went on Morning Joe, and with this great plan to solve the crime in large cities like Chicago, you need to provide more affordable housing. These guys aren't ready for the big time, and the residents are pushing back.
You know, I remember visiting Chicago back in the 90s. For a few years, I lived in Kankakee, Illinois, just south of Chicago, and I would deliver the Chicago Tribune to make money to buy my basketball shoes and things like that. But the Daley family, one of these days I would love to interview former Mayor Daley to just get his take on the downfall of Chicago and what has happened to that city since those days.
Well, my understanding is he has a home in Billings, Montana. He was on my flight flying out to Montana there in early June. But
that's why I said that. I'm throwing out a fishing line. Hey, Mayor Daley, come join me on the show. I met his son is a great guy, by the way. I've met his son, a fellow military veteran, incredible guy.
But this wouldn't have happened under a Mayor Daley or even a Governor Rod Blagojevich because they wanted to go after the criminals. In fact, in 2008, then Governor Blagojevich said, let's call in the National Guard. We've had 16 children murdered over a 3-week span. Clearly, this is not the right. Clearly, we've got to figure out another solution. He proposed it. And what happened? His fellow Democratic leaders said it was a terrible idea. And what's happened since then? Crime has only skyrocketed. The residents are pushing back. They don't feel safe. They don't want to go to restaurants. They don't want to go to parks with their family. They don't want to walk around at night. They are calling for the National Guard. And this is a complete and total dereliction of duty by the mayor and the governor, because your first responsibility is to protect the people. They haven't done that at all.
You know, looking at the crime here in Montana, and you and I were talking about this a little bit during the break, the drug cartels, as a result of the Democrats' open borders, targeting Native Americans in particular in a vicious manner. You look at the people suffering mostly from the inner city crime in these blue cities. It's Black Americans that suffer the most from crime in these cities. And it's just interesting. Now, President Trump got a huge number of the black vote. He also did very well in Indian country. In fact, he won Roosevelt County, Montana. He won Bighorn County, Montana. And there was a similar story in other parts of Indian country. But yet, so many of the people that keep voting for the Democrats are the people that are suffering the most from Democrat policies.
That's right. I believe that's beginning to change. I mean, President Trump flipped two very blue wards in Chicago. He flipped them red. He gained 5 percentage points from 2020 and didn't even like step foot into the state of Illinois at all during his last campaign. The residents no longer feel safe. They are afraid. And President Trump is stepping in and saying, let's solve this problem. This is a crime crisis. And you're right about sort of the you think about this in downtown in Chicago, the black community, the average life expectancy is 61 years old. But you just go about 2.5-3 miles north to the very wealthy community that Governor Pritzker lives in downtown Chicago called the Gold Coast. The average life expectancy is 91 years old. Now, Governor Pritzker likes to post videos on his social media of how peaceful Chicago is and that we don't need President Trump or the National Guard. This is a peaceful city. What he's not telling you is that he's posting that video at 6 o'clock in the morning. Secondly, he's got about 12 heavily armed bodyguards standing behind him in a bulletproof SUV following him. The residents are fed up. It's time to send in a National Guard. It's the reason why nobody robs a gun shop. It's a deterrence. And we've seen the success in Washington, D.C. We've seen the numbers just drop like a rock. You've now got Democrat Mayor Bowser, who is a close friend of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. She's now praising President Trump and wanting to enact some of his policies to ensure that her city remains safe.
You know, we got to talking about the 9/11 anniversary earlier on in our conversation. And, you know, on 9/11, I was working on Capitol Hill for, you know, a Republican senator from Montana at the time. You talked about getting a phone call from your mom. I was on the phone with my mom. We already knew that the towers had been hit. I'm on the phone with my mom watching, you know, Fox News, I think, on one of those tiny little Capitol TVs, as the news came in that the Pentagon had been hit as well. But I say that to say that I was a student at Howard University while I started working on Capitol Hill. And, you know, Washington, D.C. is a predominantly black city. And yet all of the people protesting the crackdown on crime are all these woke white liberals. The black voters in D.C., the black voters in Chicago that you're hearing from are supporting this. It's like you say, it's the woke white liberals and these fat cats like J.B. Pritzker living high on the hog. And I just hope it just continues to open up more people's eyes to the political reality.
It's also exposing the hypocrisy, and this is what makes President Trump so effective. He's literally backed Democrat leaders like Johnson and Pritzker and other Democratic mayors and Newsom into a corner where it's like they have to admit, because they're not going to admit defeat, but they have to admit that they're for crime, they're for lawlessness, they're for criminals, they're for illegals. And that's what we're seeing play out on live television. And in fact, you know, Governor Pritzker deployed the National Guard last August, for the Democratic National Convention in Chicago to protect the wealthy billionaire Democratic mega donors and the VIP delegates. But he won't deploy the National Guard to protect everyday residents, moms and dads and aunts and uncles and children and babies. And they see that, they realize that, and they're speaking out, and the momentum is growing.
You know, the liberal media mob pivoting to another blue city crime story. You've obviously seen the video footage, I imagine, horrific video footage of this beautiful young woman, Ukrainian refugee, just being slaughtered by that career criminal on that train in Charlotte, North Carolina. The newest video that came out shows the immediate aftermath and the look of just innocence and horror at the same time on her face, wondering what just happened to her. And everybody on that train sat there and did nothing. They did nothing for her.
It's heartbreaking, and I actually can't look at those images anymore because it's tough to stomach. We blame these pro-criminal elected officials in these cities and communities all over our country. Our country, it is so backwards now that I see this in Chicago every single day. I've met with a family of 30 families of whose children were violently murdered. And guess what they all shared in common? Not only do they share that they've had to bury a child, but they also share in common the fact that their violent killers have never been caught. And we know that these individuals, that these criminals, these monsters have long rap sheets. And that's why the community supports these ICE raids, and particularly in Chicago and these other major cities. Why? Because they're ridding the communities of monsters like this in North Carolina. And when they find them, they know that they have long rap sheets. They know that they have violent criminal histories. And what did these Democratic leaders do? They welcomed them into their communities with open arms.
And now they say, if you guys talk about this, you're a racist. I don't think black Americans are falling for that line of BS from the liberal media, because black Americans are the ones to suffer most from the crime in these blue-run cities. So I don't think they're going to fall for this. Oh, don't let white people talk about the Ukraine refugee story, racist garbage that CNN and others are trying to trot out there.
No, you're right. And CNN's had to eat a little bit of humble pie in Chicago, because they're literally out there on the street saying, you know, do you agree? You agree with Governor Pritzker, right? You don't need the National Guard. And their response is, no, bring in the National Guard. Send them in. We need them now. Well, but the statistics show the city is getting safer. Don't you feel safer because the statistics tell you that you're safer? Absolutely not. And one lady actually tells them, why don't you stay here for more than 2 days? Why don't you stay here for a week? Why don't you take your family out to a local restaurant? Right? And they said, back to you in the studio. I mean, they wanted to cut off that conversation right then and there. The Democrats are losing this battle.
And then Don Lemon in his, you know, white linen outfits. Like, dude, where do you think you are right now trying to lecture people in Chicago? My goodness, with your white linen and your fancy sunglasses. Who the heck are you? Get the heck out of here. Mark Vargas, this has been great. We got to get you back on the show again. And, yeah, keep us posted next time you're in Montana. It'd be great to see you.
Happy to do it. God bless you, and God bless Montana.
You as well. God bless. Yeah, you can follow him on X at Mark A. Vargas, Newsmax columnist, editor-in-chief of the Illinois Review. Quick break. We've got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. Back right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, one of the things that I wanted to throw out there when we were chatting with Mark Vargas, you know, we were talking about the crime in the blue cities, the crime in these blue states, and then, of course, the crimes right here in Montana as a result of Joe Biden and John Tester's open borders invasion that they allowed. There's another Montana story. I don't know. I guess I didn't check all of the news media reports yet this morning. So maybe you guys could tell me, is there a story in the Daily Interlake? Is there a story at the Flathead Beacon? Do the TV stations have a story yet? Maybe they do. Maybe they will. But anyway, I saw this yesterday. It comes from the Illegal Alien Crimes account on X. You can follow that account at Immigrant Crimes. And it's, by the way, it's been a very reliable, credible, solid source of information. Anyway, this news out of Flathead County, Montana. In July, Christian Leonel Tabarez Reyes was charged with aggravated sexual intercourse without consent. He has an immigration detainer hold. So I shared that yesterday, x.com/Aaron Flint. I wonder, is the Flathead Democracy, are they going to be doxing this guy? Are they going to be protesting outside the courthouse against this guy who allegedly raped somebody? Of course they won't. But yet, they dox and issue death threats, apparently in one case, our great men and women of the Border Patrol that are working to protect the people from threats just like that. All right, into the phone lines we go. This is great. I see we got Tom Burnett calling in, former state legislator out of Bozeman. Tom Burnett on the phone lines. Tom, thanks for calling in. I got to give our listeners a little bit of a backstory here. So last week we were talking a lot about property taxes, and you know the Flathead County Republican County Commissioners are lowering property taxes. Missoula County Commissioners, the Democrats, are raising property taxes another 8%. And so that sent me into a whole series of different rants. And then we had some great phone calls that came in talking about you know all of the property taxes that they typically try to hike when it comes to local governments, city governments, school budgets, you name it. And so anyway, Tom, thanks for calling in this morning. You know, first off, just your thoughts in general when it comes to property taxes, and here we go again. The state can do whatever they want, but at the end of the day, you're going to see blue cities and blue counties do whatever they can to continue to raise your taxes no matter what, right?
You're absolutely right. Before we get into the school funding and the tax implications, just back up to your previous story that you reported out of Kalispell. There's a connection here. The Bozeman School District has 10% of the population, school-age population, as English language learners. So it's a very significant number in my mind.
Massive spike. Well, if you think there's a lot of illegal aliens in the Flathead, Bozeman and Gallatin County is supposed to be the highest concentration in the entire state. So that would shock a lot of people in the Flathead who are like, oh man, because we've seen a lot, right? Yeah, and so I'm interested in seeing what the enrollment numbers are for the Bozeman public schools, because some of these public schools, even though we're seeing a big population increase, some of these public schools are seeing enrollment declines. And so I haven't seen any updated numbers in at least a year or so, but it would be interesting to see some of the latest enrollment numbers, because as we were talking about property taxes last week, that was part of the response that I got back in an email from Mike Waterman, who is the executive director of business and operations for the Bozeman Public Schools. And I'm working to get him on the show maybe next week. But you know, his biggest thing was like, hey, Aaron, you know, when it comes to school funding, most of our funding is based off of enrollment. It's not based off of our tax base. So even if the tax base increases, that doesn't necessarily mean that the school budget itself is going to increase, that revenues to the public schools are going to increase. And I know you got a chance to look at his response. What are your thoughts kind of in general?
Let's just keep it real simple. There's an active commission called the School Funding Interim Commission, which was put in effect. It happens every 10 years. Legislature populated it. And so this commission, of which I'm a member, has a strong influence from the public school advocacy groups, the teachers union, the school business officials, the school officials, administrators, trustees. And they're talking, this coalition is talking $204 million more revenue to schools. We can't come from property taxes. The people aren't going to allow that. So it's going to have to come from the general kitty, from the general fund. It's going to have to come from income taxes. If you take that $204 million and you distribute that cost equally across all Montana households, there's 400 plus thousand households, it comes to $432 a year. I don't think people want that.
What's your take on, so I think his broader response was, okay, because my rant last week was like, okay, no matter what people think about the property tax relief, if you want to call it that came out of the legislature, I said, you watch, even for the people who are supposed to be getting property tax relief, some people aren't going to get relief. They're going to see their taxes go up, right? But even for the people, the residential property taxpayers that are supposed to get relief, I said, you watch as some of these school boards, as some of these cities and some of these counties go and take every single dime of that relief and more, and which is why spending at the local level is a much bigger part of the equation when it comes to property tax hikes. But basically, Mr. Waterman's response was like, for schools, it's different. It's not as easy for them to simply, A, get an increase in revenue based off of an increase in the tax base. B, it's not as easy for them to hike the taxes as it would be for, say, you know, a city government or a county government. Your thoughts?
Yes. State law restricts how much a school district can increase the property tax. So that's probably the general principle that he's explaining.
Yeah. Now, they still can. But back to my broader point, and I don't know if we brought up the Bozeman schools last week or not, but my broader point is this, is that they will try to go after more of your funding. And that point being whether they do it through their own unilateral decision making or whether they try to push another levy or another tax hike request to go through the voters. That was my broader point, is that that's what you're going to see in a lot of these, especially blue cities and blue counties.
Well, of course. That's inevitable. That's just a historically proven fact. That's the motivation. That's the incentive.
Yeah. Have you seen enrollment numbers lately? Because it has been interesting. Now, the COVID lockdowns and all the COVID craziness kind of is certainly messed with public school enrollment numbers. But it is interesting that we are seeing in parts of Montana that even though the population is booming, there still is not a corresponding increase in public school enrollment. And I think in large part that's due to the fact that most of the people that are moving into Montana, or at least a huge chunk of them, are more closer to retirement age. That's why you're seeing more people, but not necessarily more kids in the classrooms.
And even when you have a young population moving in, they're not prone to marriage and childbearing. So those two factors combine. Yes, nationally, the kindergarten age cohort is 14% less than the high school senior age cohort. And we're going to see more of that if birth rates continue to decline locally and nationally. So, yeah, schools are slowly emptying.
Yeah, that's a good point. And as we talked about here on the show here recently, the Financial Times, I think it was, had a recent report which highlighted how there is a political ideology difference in birth rates and families that have kids and don't have kids from the left and the right. So if you're in a left-leaning city or county, your population is even more likely to not have kids or to have fewer kids. So that's an interesting angle as well. All right, Tom Burnett, former state legislator, very smart guy when it comes to these numbers and these funding mechanisms and more. Always great to have you on the show. I'll check in with Tom during the break here to see if he has more to share. And then either way, we'll get back into the phone calls right after this. I see we got Mark in the Paradise Valley on the phone lines as well. So stand by. Mark, we'll get to you. Coming up here after this. We've got phone lines open for the 9 o'clock hour today as well.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is an example of defund, dismantle, no bail, madness, reimagine the police, madness. This young girl should be alive today. It shouldn't be politicized, and conservatives should not be called racist because they're standing up for what is right, and that is the life of an innocent woman. Just like nobody in Chicago seems to give a damn when 58 people are shot and 8 or 9 are dead on a weekend, or this past weekend, 19 shot, 8 dead. No, I'm sorry, 9 dead. The number went up.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
So our friends in Israel are on the front lines, surrounded by the constant threat of nations that want nothing more than to bring down Israel, destroy it, wipe it off the map. Now, we saw what happened on October 7th, you know, the Holocaust, the Free Palestine Movement, all reminders that anti-Semitism is alive and well. It's sad. It's in the halls of Congress, on college campuses. You see the rise of anti-Semitism on the world stage. We have to fight back. We have to stop it. And with our faith and our devotion to our friends in Israel that are under fire by radical Islamic terrorists, now is the time to take a stand. Now, this alliance with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been incredible in terms of helping Israel in their time of need as they fight for their very survival. Let's be unified together in recognizing God's faithfulness by supporting his chosen people. To learn more, go to ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Aerosmith's Steven Tyler and British singer Youngblood performed a tribute to the late Ozzy Osbourne at the VMAs. Sound courtesy of MTV and CBS, the Black Sabbath singer died at age 76 on July 22nd. The biggest winner at the MTV Video Music Awards. Lady Gaga led with an impressive 12 nominations going into the night, taking home the first award at Long Island's UBS Arena in New York for Artist of the Year, while Ariana Grande, she took home the last Moon Man trophy of the night for Music Video of the Year for the 26-minute-long Brighter Days Ahead. The MTV Video Music Awards were hosted by LL Cool J. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, Tom Burnett able to stick around with us here for some final thoughts for our listeners across Montana. And, Tom, we greatly appreciate your phone call here this morning. One thing that I wanted to throw out there is Speaker of the House Brandon Lear, on behalf of the Montana House Republican leadership, just sent out a press release yesterday basically calling out Missoula County in particular for their decision to raise mills, to raise property taxes. And he says, he's basically saying that it's time to have a serious discussion about putting limits on local mill increases in future sessions so families can plan and budget with confidence. Before we get to Mark in the Paradise Valley, Tom Burnett, what are some final thoughts you wanted to share with our listeners?
Yes, as it relates to school funding, those mills and those taxes, of course, he's talking about the county taxing, but it has a correlation. There's just no correlation between how much schools spend and what kind of proficiency they get from their students. For instance, in one elementary school, close to hell and a half the kids can do math and read. In another elementary school, it spends three times as much off to the northeast of there. Only a tenth of the kids can do math and read. They spend three times as much and get a tenth as it relates to a half, a fifth as many kids proportional able. So taxpayers like House Speaker Lehrer is pointing out should be very leery and insist on limits to local counties and school districts' taxation increase requests. And we should not not allow this $204 million that the advocacy groups are asking from general revenues either.
Interesting. Yeah, and to your point about how much you spend on public schools does not have a correlation with the outcome from public schools. I was talking with Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio about that national trend. You're seeing it all across the country, and you're seeing, you know, math and reading scores continue to decline post-COVID-19. And, yeah, look at Minnesota. Minnesota spends a huge amount on their public schools, but yet they're getting their butts kicked by Mississippi right now when it comes to some of those educational scores. All right, let's see. I think we've got Mark in the Paradise Valley still with us on the phone lines. Mark, thanks for the call. Mark, what's your thoughts this morning?
Yeah, I just want to make a statement in regards to the government. They're kind of like a spouse with a gambling problem. There's never enough money. I'm not a servant to any state, local, or federal government in the United States. If you want to try to take my property because I haven't paid enough taxes, you have no compensational interest in that property, and it will be defended. This needs to stop. This is a bastardization of the American system from the government. I don't care what party it is. It's wrong.
We've got to scrap this system based off of the value of your property or the value of your home. It is just insane. It is a tax on unrealized gains. And how do you ever truly own your own property, which is a right we have in this country, if they keep raising property taxes so high that they could take it from you at any moment? Yeah, Mark, thanks for the call. Anything else you wanted to share? About 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, exactly. It's unappreciated gains, and that's totally, totally theoretical. What I should be taxed on is what I paid for the property, and the next owner can get the taxes for what they paid on the property. That's it. Enough.
Enough. Enough is enough, and you're hearing that from more and more Montanans. All right, Mark, thanks for the call. Let's see, what are we going to talk about coming up in the 9 o'clock hour? Got to talk about this incredible Montana tow truck memorial in honor of these fallen tow truck operators here in Montana. Such a cool deal that was just dedicated yesterday in Three Forks. Plus, rules changes coming from Senate Republicans back on Capitol Hill. That and more coming up next.
A message from FireSafe Montana. It has been indicated that Montana is headed towards a significant wildland fire season. Now is the time for you and your community to begin your fuel mitigation efforts. Neighborhood meetings, fuel mitigation around your property, planning escape routes, practicing the route. Right now is the time for action. Your local emergency management agency can be contacted for more information. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.